Years ago, we had a visitor here, and his name was Millie. And I thought that was unusual. But I think his name was Amian, and they called him Millie for short. So I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, what we're going to talk about today is shepherd, sheep, and the sheepfold. Now, when I first started studying on this, I thought, well, Lord, what are you having me do this for? Because everyone knows about the shepherd. I mean, they take care of sheep, right? Well, there's more to it than that. Of course, we're considered his sheep, his flock. So we'll get into it. Little Aaliyah and little Gary, they almost got Psalm 23 memorized. Almost, not quite. So can we go there first? This is a psalm that David wrote, and as you know, he was a shepherd before he was a king. And I'm going to read out of my Bible, which may vary a little bit from this Bible because I'm using the New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And lots of times when you're at a funeral for some reason, on the back of those, where it gives the statistics of the person, what day they were born, when they died, and on the back they usually have this psalm. And it's fairly popular at funerals. But it has more meaning than just for funerals. Amen. Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. When I first started this, I was reading out of Psalm 23 and John chapter 10. And Ezekiel 34. All those have to do with shepherds, and there's more places in the Bible where they talk about shepherds. But those three specifically were where I started. And first thing I want to talk about is the shepherd. When you think about a shepherd, you think about a man out there or a boy out there with his staff with the hook on it, right? Think about that, and you think about him watching them sheep. Let's talk about what a shepherd looks like in Jesus' time. He wore a tunic and like another coat over it that was very similar to the coat that John the Baptist wore. It was made out of camel's hair to shed water because he was out in the elements with the sheep, and he would use it as a blanket or a shelter sometimes. If the weather was bad, he wore a belt around that. They call it a girdle. And within that girdle, he had his rod. Do you guys know what a rod is? It's not the staff. The rod is a club, about yay long, like a policeman's club, except for it had a knot on the end of it. And sometimes they would put nails or rocks in that. And that was used to ward off predators or to defend the sheep. The staff was the long stick. It was about 5 to 6 feet. And it was used to guide the sheep, to protect the sheep. If they got in a space, it was kind of down in a crevice. That hook was used to draw them out. Or if the bucket at the well got dropped, they would use that hook to retrieve the bucket. So those are just some things about that. So they had that simple tunic. They had the girdle. Then they had a thing called a scrip, which was the shepherd's bag. Now here's something interesting. I started reading about studying the scrip, and that's where their moms. See, a shepherd usually started out as a boy. the youngest boy in the family, and it was passed down. If a boy was born when he got to be a shepherding age and he was the first boy, he would go to the field and watch the sheep. Then a second boy, if he was born, when he got of age, that first boy came home, helped his dad out in the fields, and then that second boy went to be a shepherd. That's why we see David being the youngest out in the field. Makes sense, doesn't it? All right, so it was passed down. Now, if there was no boys, then the daughters would shepherd the sheep. And we see that in the Word, too. I believe Moses came to a well, and there was Jethro? His daughters were there with their sheep. He didn't have no sons. The daughters were shepherding, and he ended up marrying one of those daughters. So the shepherd's equipment, he had a rod and a staff. The other thing that we see him have, the scrip, the bag, moms would put their lunch in it. Isn't that something? Even back then, moms packed lunch. They put bread, cheese, olives, some dried fruit. So they even had lunch bags back then. Kind of amazing. Then the shepherd also had a sling. And we know the story about David and his sling. And that scrip that he carried is what he put those five stones in. Now, these shepherds were very precise. They didn't just pick a stone up off the ground. They had become experts at that sling. They were around their head, they let go of one string, and that rock would go flying. They got so precise that if a sheep was lagging behind, they could drop a stone behind that last sheep and kind of skiddy him up, get him to come up. Or if one was straying over here, sling it over there. So they got real precise and very good. And they knew which stones. They had to have smooth stones. Because if they had rough stones, it caused friction in the air. So when it said that David picked five smooth stones, there's a reason for that. He was an expert. He was good. So a sling, a flute. The book of Psalm, which is most of it, was written by David, is actually in the Hebrew word mezmor, which means to be played by a flute or a pipe. So shepherds carry flutes, calm the sheep down, gave them something to do. Now, sheep were very important during that time and still to this day. They often ran sheep and goats together. You're thinking, why is Millie telling all this? It all intertwines. You'll see in a minute. Now, when night came, Kelly, there might be a shepherd out in the field over here, one out in the field over here, and one out in the field over there. They'd all kind of gather in, and they'd take their sheep and put them into the sheepfold. And those shepherds would be at the entrance of the sheepfold, which was a rude kind of corral. And they would be at watch. They'd make their campfire at the entrance. There was only one way to get in, one way to get out. So the shepherds were the door of the sheepfold. Do you remember Jesus saying he was the door? He was the gate? Ties in. Okay, so we have the sheepfold. Number one predator of a sheep is a wolf. We still have wolves today in the sheepfold. And lots of times it's the job of the under-shepherd, the pastors, to be aware and to watch out for the sheep, to watch out for the flock. And to guard the sheep, God's flock. He is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. Under shepherd would be like Kelly or like what Angela was, under shepherd. watching God's flock. It was their responsibility to protect, water, and feed the sheep. Let's go to Ezekiel 34:22. Are we getting there? All right. I will save my flock, and they will no longer be plundered. I will judge between sheep and another. There's going to come a time for each of us to be judged, even as sheep, from sheep to sheep. Now, they ran the sheep and the goats together. The goats are going to get separated out. Even in the natural, there are certain times and certain seasons that they separated the sheep and the goats. Now, when the shepherds would collect the sheep and put them in that sheepfold, when they came out, the shepherds knew how many sheep they had, how many goats they had, and they knew their sheep by name. So they would stand at the entrance, and the sheep would come out, Kel, and they would count their sheep, and they pulled their sheep, get them going one and the other one in the other direction, the other one in the other direction, and separate them out, because they knew their sheep. And then when it was come time to pay a tithe from the flock, every tenth sheep or goat, he would take that rod and he'd dip it in some dye and he'd touch that sheep, the tenth sheep, tenth sheep. That sheep was separated out for the Lord. They called that sheep holy. Now what does the word say? Be holy even as I am holy. We all pass under the rod. We all are separated out. We don't have to be sacrificed, because we already have a high priest who paid the price for us. But he still calls us to be holy and to be separated out. We all walk under the rod. We all do, as sheep. Some don't want to, and they leave. Let's look at, see if I can find that. We're jumping. Well, I'll get to it in a minute. It's in Leviticus. I know that. Let's look at Micah 7:14. Shepherd your sheep with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, which lives by itself in a forest and a fertile pasture land. Let them feed in Bashan and Gilead as the days long ago. Shepherd your sheep with your staff. The difference between a staff and a rod is one is to defend the sheep and to guard the sheep. The other one is to protect them and keep them close. So shepherds, they wanted to keep something close. They would either carry that lamb or that sheep and tuck it into their tunic, or they would use their staff to kind of keep that sheep, tap it, keep it close to them. And sometimes when you're down and you need to be shepherd, he's tapping you. He's saying, come closer. Come here. Come on. I'm going to walk you out. I'm going to walk you through. Come on. Let's see if I... Three signs of a sheep. You have to hear. You have to believe. You have to follow. Now, there's one scripture in the Bible that says, Jesus is talking to someone. He says, you can't hear me because you're not my sheep. That's a sad predicament. Because see, if you're called by Jesus, you can hear him. And you're his. You belong to him. And you believe in him. And you're following him. So the identifying marks of a sheep is hearing, believing, and following. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Now here's, remember I told you at night the shepherds would kind of gather up? Here's one place where they gathered up. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at what time? Night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So there you are. So they had their sheep in the sheepfold. They were at the gate or at the entrance. They were being the gate. And the angels came and told them about Jesus, that he was going to be born. Let's look at the reasons why Jesus is the good shepherd. Number one, Christ received you as a gift from the Father. Look at John 10:29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. So here's what happens. Here's the Father. He's going to his Son. He goes, here's my sheep. He doesn't let go of it. He's the Father. But he's given the sheep to the Son. Now look. Can anyone snatch that out? No, they're covered by the Father and the Son. You're covered by the Father and the Son. And then at some point in time, the Father says to the Son, let's take them home. So you belong to, you're a gift from the Father. You can see that in chapter 10, verse 29. Then look at John chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Another telltale sign of a sheep. Do they know Jesus? Do they say he's the Christ? Is he the Son of the living God to them? Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. So see, he's the good shepherd, but he's willing to lay, he did lay his life down for you on the cross. And he not only laid it down, he raised it up again. Look at the third reason Christ gave himself for you, John 10, 11 through 15. 11 and 15. John 11. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him. There's that believing. You must believe. And then look at 15. And for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, that you may believe, but let us go to him. Christ gave himself for you. Then look at John 10:16. I think it was Kimber sang a song today. where it talks about Jesus coming looking for you. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, not of this sheep fold. I must bring them also, and they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So we're talking about him calling us. What I mean by us, Gentiles, to his family. So he called us, and he's telling them, look, I'm calling people that aren't of the same flock, but they're coming too. And then number five, Christ owns you and will never abandon you. John 10 and 14. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me.
Hallelujah.
And then look at 27. John 10, 27. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me. There's two. They listen to my voice. They can hear it, and they're going to follow me. So Christ gave himself for you. He owns you. He will never abandon you. The hired hand, on the other hand, is someone that's paid to watch the sheep. When things happen with the hired hand, like a wolf comes in, they split and run. But the shepherd won't do that. A true shepherd, Jesus Christ, will never abandon you. He will never leave you. Then look at 6. Christ gives you eternal life. John 10, 28. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one's going to snatch you out of God's hand. The only way you can leave God's hand is if you leave. But no one's going to take you away unless you are drawn away by your own fleshy desires. But no one's going to snatch you out if you've got a hold of him and he's got a hold of you. Now, this eternal life, you have eternal life right now. Right now. You have eternal life inside of you living. It's called the Spirit of God that dwells in you. That part of you that's not going to die. It's already there. It's already present. And then Christ guards you and will keep you forever. Look at John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. Remember when I went over to Angelo and I said, we're going to pretend he's the Son and I'm the Father? Father, he still has his hand on that situation because he loves you. The Father loves you. He's not going to let you go. The Son isn't either. You're covered up. You're covered up under their protection. All right. So you guys remember the three things that a sheep has to do? Hear, believe, follow. The seven things that a shepherd does. He's the good shepherd. He received you as a gift from the Father. He knows you completely. He knows everything about you, including how many hairs are on your head. And he gave himself for you. That was 3. Christ called you and brought you to himself. He called you by name. Well, just like the shepherd knew each one of those sheep by name, Mary, I couldn't tell one sheep from another. When I see them out in the field, I'm thinking, how could they do that? But God could. Jesus could. He knows one sheep from another. Called you and brought you to himself. Christ owns you and will never abandon you. We used to sing a song here. We don't sing it very much anymore. Called I Surrender All. Do you remember that, huh? Not too many people want to hear about how much they need to surrender everything that they have. Because some of people want to hold on to what they got. Like they can take it with them. You can't. You can't take things with you. Christ owns you, will never abandon you, is number five. Christ gives you eternal life, now and after. Christ guards you and will keep you forever, and no one will snatch you out. So here's my question that I have for you. Here it is. Now, the staff's a nice little instrument that the shepherds had, but you know, a shepherd back in Jesus' time, he would not leave the house without his rod. And I'm not talking about a credit card. I'm talking he wouldn't leave without having some protection for the sheep. But every sheep that's truly his walks under the rod. And you can read that in Ezekiel and in Leviticus, how he called them holy, the ones that were separated out for the Lord. Now here's my question. Can you walk under the rod? Is there anyone that's having trouble walking under the rod? Because it's not always pleasant. It's hard. And she's actually supposed to, she's an under-shepherd. She's supposed to lead God's, he's the chief shepherd, lead God's flock using the staff, using some gentle tugging. Come on, how come you weren't in church? We missed you, that sort of thing. But sometimes there has to be some correction. And that's a hard thing. So here's my question again. Can you walk under the rod? You know what you have to do? You have to bend down. You have to go be counted as his. So, hon, can you help me close with this? Is there anyone here that maybe needs a touch from the shepherd tonight? That needs to feel his presence? That needs to be tapped a little bit? Come on now. Come on, let's catch up. Come on up here, and we're going to pray for you. Okay. He loves you.